There it is. Can you hear me? Can y'all hear me? Yeah, you can hear me. I love that chorus. I love it. It was a good one. It's a powerful message Sunday, too. Anyhow, we're in John chapter 10. So, we're going to get started. It says here, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. All right, got this word well still. It says, Pomain, Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd. The word Pomain means herdsman, a sheep herder, one who tends, leads, guides, cherishes, feeds, and protects the flock. The New Testament uses the word for Christian pastor to whose care and leadership others will commit themselves. Ephesians 4:11. No, I don't think I got that one. But anyway, yeah. Ephesians 4:11. The term is applied metaphorically to Christ. John 10:11, 14, and 16. Hebrews 13:20. 1 Peter 2:25. A good shepherd, Jesus, not only protects his sheep, but he also leads them to peace and safety. However, sometimes sheep have a habit of wandering off, and the shepherd must direct them. In the same manner, a pastor who is the shepherd of a flock of God must sometimes discipline the sheep to keep them on the right path. So, that's good stuff. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls on the sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will not by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. That's why it's important for us to be in this word and to pray to Christ or pray to the Father every day so that we don't get used to somebody else's voice and follow it. Verse 6 says, Jesus used the illustration, but he did not understand the things which he spoke to them. All right, I'm going to go back a minute. Verses 1 through 5. Jesus compared himself a shepherd of the sheep. And this analog believers are similar to sheep that need a shepherd to lead and protect them. Like sheep, believers are to recognize the voice of their true shepherd. This implies that there are other voices to which believers are not to listen. There is a thief and a robber, Satan, who attempts to get the sheep, God's people, to follow him. However, sheep who learn to recognize the voice of their shepherd will not be led astray by false prophets and false messiahs. That's why, again, it's important to read the word. It's why it's important to pray every day. So, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay, 1 through 7. A sheepfold had only one entrance. The shepherd who sleeps in front of that entrance making himself the door, he protect the sheep from the wolves, wind, and storms. Jesus is our shepherd, protecting us from our enemies. Verse 8, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, you have to understand this. He's saying this because before he came on the scene, there were men who claimed to be the Messiah before Christ showed up. So that's why he's referencing that, to let people know. All right, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out to find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, we sung that chorus a while ago, and I was in some miry clay when God got a hold of me. I was in some real miry clay. And I'm thankful for the past 30-something years where he's brought me from, because I was not a good person. Don't say amen on that one. It's okay. I know. I'm teasing. But no, I'm just telling you, I know where he brought me from, and I know exactly where I could end up if I do not stay in this word and praise him and stay around people that love God. Because we can be pulled so rapidly away. That's why I love this church, because they've always encouraged us to read the word. And there's a lot of churches that tell them not to. And there's a lot of churches where people don't even carry Bibles to church with them. And I've been to a few. And I had not been back to them, because they were recommended by another pastor friend or that I've known or whatever. And I just, no. I want to be in this church. This is where God placed me. Okay. Ezekiel 36:25-27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of... I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk. Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Know the thief, Satan, and his demons are the fallen angels. That's the one that's fighting us. He wants to destroy everything God created. And he's bent on doing that, because that's all he wants to do. That's why, look at our nation. We were once a Christian nation. You can't really say that at this moment, with some of the stuff that's happening. I remember when I was a young man, you would watch it, you know, some political deal, you know, with the Congress and all that. They would always start it out with prayer. Now it's just fighting and bickering, trying to see which, you know, who can get the most votes. It's not about serving God, it's about serving themselves. I want to serve God. I did enough serving myself, and it didn't work out too well. Yeah. Also here it says, restoring damaged lives. Restoration means to the individual. One who describes and summarizes and all that restoration means to the individual. Believer, life in the Old Testament, Moses said to the Lord, he is your life. Deuteronomy 30:20. In the New Testament, Paul speaks of Christ, who is our life. Colossians 3:4. And Jesus said, I am come that you may have life. Of course, I read that and everything. So, I did. Completeness of David when he said to the Lord, restore my soul in Psalms 23. For spiritual registration means replacing of the spirit, death, and spiritual life. Ezekiel 36:25 graphically describes just such a transplant. But not only did he receive a new type and quality of life, we must also grow in it. In many verses, we see the process of growth at work of the Holy Spirit. John 16:23, 7 John 17:22, Romans 8:13. Philippians 1 and 6, Philippians 2 and 13, Colossians 1 and 27. By his Holy Spirit, God continues and perfects his work he begun in us at salvation. Joel 22:28 and 29, and John 34:13, 34 and 35. The passage teaches us two very important things. First, every believer in Christ has an enemy who desires to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy must be guarded against and resisted spiritually. Second, it is God's will to give his people the abundant life, or the life of fullness, promise, and blessing. However, we need to actively possess this abundant life, as the children of Israel had to go in and possess the promised land. They had to slay the giants in the land. We must fight a spiritual enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy us. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Said, Christ is a gentleman. If he comes and tempts you and you say yes, Christ is still going to be there. But he'll try to warn you, but if you don't listen, he's going to let you do what you want to do. Because it's our choice. It's our choice on what we're going to choose. We can choose life or we can choose death. And I remember when I first started reading after that accident, 2013, I started reading the Word. It seemed like every page I went to, that's what it told me. Choose life, choose death. There's a few I can still find, but it's totally changed. The Word has totally changed for me because as I progress, it progresses. It knows what I need at the time, because, like I tell people, this is Jesus Christ in black and white, or red and white, or blue and white, or whatever, you know, whatever you're reading. And the deal is we have to adjust to him. He don't adjust to us. And the only way we can learn to adjust to them is we have to pray, we have to seek him, and we have to read his word. Because his word tells us what he expects of us. It tells us. I don't know why I went off on that tangent, thank you. All right. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who is, verse 12. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I know by my own, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep, he says. We'll go back to verse 16. Talking about other sheep. It says here, which really refers to us Gentiles, believers, Christians, as we call it. Jesus brings the Jewish and the Gentile Christians, believers, into one fold. There are Messianic Jews that absolutely believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And a lot of them act just like us. They don't do the whole rituals of the Old Testament. Now, they do sometimes to bring in Gentiles, but most of the time they worship basically the way we do. All right. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. That's his choice. He chose to give his life for us. It's good stuff. Yep. Anyway, and then it says here, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Verse 18, and I'll repeat it again. Nobody killed Jesus. He laid down his life. Matthew 27:50 says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded, is the way it's written, yielded up his spirit. He let that spirit leave him so that he could fulfill the promise. 20. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others say, this is not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open blind eyes? 22 says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. It's also called the Feast of Lights. So they have two different names for it. Most of us hear the Feast of Lights. We don't hear the Feast of Dedication. Yep, that's part of it too, yes.
And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answers them, "I told you and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." You're the only one that can make the choice of whether or not you're going to be snatched out. And that's through disobedience. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Notice how he said that. "I and my Father are one." One here literally means one in substance and nature. Jews answered him saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being man make yourself God." Jesus was accused of continually making himself God by the Jews. And I said a lot of them priests, they knew exactly who he was. But they didn't want to give up what they had. This was the people that even told someone that, "Hey, you know, we're not under bondage. We're not at all." Well, they were being ruled by the Romans. They wasn't allowed to do everything they wanted to do. When it comes to if somebody was deserving of death, they couldn't do it. They had to go ask permission from the Romans. They didn't have the right to take somebody's life. They didn't have the right to do certain things because the Romans ruled. All right, now we're going to go to 34. Jesus answered them and says, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods?" Well, that word, "you are gods," is Elohim, which means mighty ones, that is, judges. He wasn't calling them God, he was actually calling them judges. And if you go back and read and it does say here in 34, 35, that God means judges. Gods there actually means judges. Exodus 22:8-9. "If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a sheep, clothing, or for any kind of loss thing, which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whomever the judges condemns shall pay double to his neighbor." So basically what they're saying there is, if this person said that he did it and he said, "No, I didn't do it," and they decide the one that didn't do it did it, he's got to pay whether he did it or not, or vice versa. John 6:69. "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
You are the Holy One.
And anyway, and of course, 36, in John 10, 36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I say I am the Son of God? Verse 37 says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. All right. We're going to go back to 36. Sanctified. And it's pronounced hagiazol. God the Father sanctified Jesus, and the Holy Spirit performs a work of sanctification in the lives of individual believers. The word hagiazol means to hallow, set apart, dedicate, consecrate, separate, sanctify, and make holy. As a state of holiness is opposite of kieno, common, or unclean. In the Old Testament, there's places and ceremonies where names Hazio because his father said to him apart, Jesus appropriately is called the Holy One. And that's in John 6:69. The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of every believer, sanctifying them. It is God's desire to enter every aspect of a person's life. You hear that? Hear that? The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of every believer, sanctifying them. It is God's desire to enter every aspect of that person's life and fill it with himself. A person is sanctified when he commits every aspect of his life exclusively to Jesus. A person who is sanctified by God's Holy Spirit is set free in the deepest dimensions of his life and is released into fruitfulness. And is that not what he promises us?
Yes.
John 14, 12 through 14 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater work than these will do because I go to the Father. Because he goes to the Father. All right. Let's continue on. All right. I'm going to repeat verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. That's what Jesus told them. Do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that I do, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am him. All right. The key word in the Gospel of John is believe. It is faith that unlocks our understanding of Scripture. It is faith that releases the Holy Spirit's activity within our lives. If we are to walk in faith and live victorious, we must believe in the miracles of Jesus, verses 37 and 38, and understand that the glory of God is revealed to those who believe, John 11, 40. Faith, like love, evidence itself in obedience. What we practice of God's words is what brings blessings to ourselves and to others. John 13, 17. There's absolutely no way to know God except to know Jesus, because Jesus is the only way to God. And we must choose to believe that believe this if we are to have relationship with him. John 14, 6 and 7. See also Hebrews 11, 6. Finally, we must choose to believe because it is through faith that we approach God boldly to ask and receive from him the things that we need. Therefore, we should never neglect to ask the Father for those things which we need to live to do his work.
Amen.
John 16, 24. Furthermore, we should pray for and expect the greater things.
Amen.
Ministry of the church, which is Jesus promised, would be available to all those who put their faith in him. John 14, 12 and 14. 39 says, therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand.
Amen.
And he, verse 40, and he went away beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at the first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performs no sign. But all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. There we go.
That's good.
Yes. Yes.